God and the Bible. In a nutshell? What is the Bible? The Bible is the word and breath of God. It is the inerrant, infallible, perfect, eternal word of God. It is creative, causative, instructional and prophetic. It tells the truth to you, and when you consume it, it will tell the truth through you. What is the plan? God created with an eternal plan already in place. A beginning, without form and void. The middle, the act of salvation and the process of sanctification. An end, and a new and eternal beginning. What is the purpose? Perfection. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. What is the method? God allows trials, tribulation and persecutions and our faith to squeeze us in order to transform us into the image and likeness of Christ. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is the teaching? When Jesus had finished instruction his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Please note that each link opens a detailed description of the subject. This is meant to be an overview from 50,000 feet, so to speak. I have visited scores of churches and have been a visiting member of several. Additionally, I have been on staff at a few churches and even established a small church. And what I have found is that the great majority of Christians who are church attenders do not want to actually follow in the steps of Jesus. Allow me to explain. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, Matthew 4:1-3. Most, if not all, new Christians, pastors and leadership included, fail to recognize, embrace and endure the earliest first steps of God's sanctification, which is the process of being set apart for God's special use and purpose, which involves moral transformation and growth in holiness through the work of the Holy Spirit. It signifies both a definitive status received through faith in Christ and an ongoing journey of becoming more like Him in character and actions. It can be difficult and bewildering at times, so most will turn away from it and simply go to church for the benefits. They take the easy road, and enter through the wide gate. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew 4:17. Jesus' first sermon, both a message of instruction and the example for the rest who would follow, is only 9 words in length, but transformative and eternal in its intent and effect. When it is unpacked, these 9 words change the world, but of the hundreds of millions of sermons preached from thousands of churches every week, this is the least preached sermon. It is just too hard and distasteful for most Christians. Use this link for a deeper explanation of this verse, Matthew 4:17. Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw 2 brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Matthew 4:18-19. Jesus preached and taught that he is on mission to preach the gospel and to make disciples. His last few words to his then current and all future followers, i.e., disciples, before ascending to the right hand of the Father, were to go and make disciples, but, again, few if any followers of Jesus, follow in these steps of him who called them. Jesus was going about in all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness among the people. Matthew 4:23. This is the example Jesus sets before us. He repeated these instructions to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus' life and words are prophetic and eternal. They were never casual remarks or suggestive requests. Yet few to very few ever follow him in these steps. We say a little sinner's prayer, congratulate ourselves, and go to church, all of which is a good start, I guess. Then the most churches begin the pandering, giving what the congregation wants. And we want to be comforted, entertained, motivated, affirmed and served. We don't want to get our hands too dirty, so rather than go and make disciples, we give and send. But Jesus never said that. He said go. There is more that could be said about how Christians, pastors and churches have redefined what it means to follow Jesus, but anything more said here may be just beating a dead horse. Please, dear friends, hear this. Jesus said that the very first symptom or sign that we have entered the last days would be deception. The world has always been full of deception, but the church, deception in the church is the first sign. And it is well underway. And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying they represent him, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will mislead many people. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then they will hand you over to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. And at that time many will fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will rise up and, mislead many people. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will become cold. But the one who endures to the end is the one who will be saved." The one who endures, Strong's Concordance number 5278 depicts the voluntary choice to remain under pressure rather than escape it. In Scripture, this endurance is never stoic resignation, it is confident perseverance grounded in the character and promises of God. The term gathers ideas of steadfast loyalty, patient waiting, and unwavering courage. To tarry behind. To persevere, absolutely and emphatically, under misfortunes and trials, to hold fast to one's faith in Christ. Enduring ill treatment, bearing bravely and calmly, absolutely. Following Jesus. To the end. Strong's number 5056, telos, plural tele, embraces the ideas of completion, goal, outcome, fulfillment and consummation. Scripture applies the word to taxes, the due paid at the completion of a commercial transaction, to prophetic fulfillment, to moral consequences, to the believer's perseverance, and ultimately to the eschatological climax of history. Each sphere enriches the others, presenting a single divine storyline that moves from promise to consummation. Hebrews repeatedly ties telos to enduring faith. "We are his house if we hold fast our confidence and the hope in which we boast until the end," Hebrews 3:6, "we have become partakers of Christ if we hold firmly to the end the assurance we had at first," Hebrews 3:14. Paul prays that God will also keep you strong to the end, 1 Corinthians 1:8. Revelation 2:26 promises authority to the one who overcomes and continues in my work until the end. Telos serves as both the horizon and the incentive for steadfast discipleship. Please. Let's pray for one another as that day draws ever more near. Your brother and friend, Mike Young.